The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to the Breeders' Cup, which of course gets underway on Friday in Santa Anita. A little bit of a difference to this podcast though, because we're going to get the thoughts of Robert Kowalski from William Hill US. And we're going to get his lines on how the betting's shaping up over there and some of the form of the American horses. We're going to call this the Vegas View, and Robert is on the line with me now. How are you, Robert?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me over, Mark. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on. What's the atmosphere like over there? Is it building now?
You know, it's great, and it's there's so many people coming from all points of the states coming to California to see the Breeders' Cup again this year. Of course, it's the second time in a row that they're going to be running it over at Santa Anita, and I'm sure that the fans will be out in droves. I know that all of our local sports books here will be packed to capacity as well in anticipation of the races coming up tomorrow and Saturday.
Yeah, we're seeing quite a bit of coverage over here in the UK now. We're building up towards Friday and Saturday. Has the turnover increased over the last few days? Are people starting to get incited and having the bets already as well?
Well, that's true. And then when they come on over and they start taking a look at the fields, you know, they start to take a look and see what is, feel like anybody wants to go ahead and handicap a race. They want to see which horses are familiar with the track. I think at this point they're starting to figure out that the European bred horses that are coming on over, they're not going to let them slip by any longer. The places that we've seen in the past that have been quite lengthy at times are quite shorter now, just taking a quick peek at some of the early odds coming across.
Okay, well, we'll move into which ones have shortened as we go through the piece. But let's get stuck into the races. The first one, we're going to look at is of course Friday. And the first race there that we're going to look at is the 9:25. We start with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, which is a grade one over a mile, and it's for the 2-year-olds. Europe have a pretty good record in this race. They've won 5 of the last 7 renewals. And War Envoy is the main European hope this year. But the betting is headed by a US runner, Hootenanny, who's at 100-30 over here. 7-2 for War Envoy. Commemorative and Imperia are both 7-1. It's 10s for Luck of the Kitten and Startup Nation, and then 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Hootenanny is a horse we know about over here as well. He was a convincing winner of the Windsor Castle at Royal Ascot. So is he popular over in the States as well?
It's the truth, Mark. You know, when we're taking a look at, again, as we mentioned before, we're not going to see much of a difference in our prices from what you see there in the UK versus what we see here in the US. A couple of horses of note, and as we could see, as you mentioned, Euros have won 5 of the last 7 juvenile turf races. In addition to that, they've been won by 2 stalkers and 5 closers. So some of the horses that we're taking a look at there, let's see some prices that are shortening just a little bit here. Conquest Typhoon is down a bit. Looks like it had a couple of bites. It looks like it's down to 12-1. International Star is down to 15. But the horse that's kind of a little bit intriguing here is the one in post 11, Imperia. 6-1 is the odds right now. And a note that I'd like to mention about this one and why it's probably a 6-1 morning line. You know, this is a horse that was a fast closing second. It just missed by a neck in its career debut, and then won his only other start, which was the Pilgrim Stakes. This horse, of course, is by Medaglia d'Oro, of course, and he's out of a Peruvian champion and a major U.S. stakes winner, Coco Beach. Personally, there's really no telling how much upside this well-bred colt has, and this is probably a horse that might get bet a little bit heavier than might be expected. So, you know, of course, we all know the European horses are going to be bet very heavily in most turf races, but one of the U.S. horses here that we're looking at, Imperia, is one that we might see a good shot in the price.
OK, Okay, yeah, interesting stuff. Absolutely ran away with the Pilgrim Stakes last time and really looks a horse on the up. He's an unknown quantity a little bit as well, isn't he? We don't know how good he could be.
No, we don't. We don't. And, you know, it's going to say an awful lot based on his performance coming up tomorrow.
Okay, Imperial and Popular over in the US there. We'll move on to the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile next, which is at 10.05 UK time. It's a grade one over a mile, of course, for three-year-olds and older. And Golden Sense heads the betting at 5-4 and won this race last year from the widest draw. Similar prep as well this year, warming up with a second over six furlongs at Belmont, which is what he did last year. He seems quite popular in our betting. Is he more so over there, being a previous winner?
Almost even money at this point, Mark. You're not going to see much of a difference in the prices here again in the States. A little bit short of a price on horse number 8, Fed Biz, currently at plus 350 or 7-2. Pants on Fire had a significant bite, closing right now closer to 6-1. So, you know, honestly, a horse like that, you know, he's going to be trying to be the first runner to win this race older than 5 years old. Honestly, if we took a look at this race and broke it down from a betting perspective, you know, there's no doubt that the heavy favorite Golden Sense is going to be the one to beat here, Mark. 6-5, you know, personally, I think it's awfully tough to swallow, you know, especially that he's been defeated many, many times as the overwhelming favorite, you know, at around this short price. He won this race last year over Golden Ticket, you know, but he has more second-place finishes than wins. You know, obviously you can't ignore the horse, especially when you're betting him in exotics. He is the classiest runner, you know. Those that are looking for an upset, however, probably could look towards horse Tapiture, which is the likeliest colt to pull off the upset, you know, along with another big long shot, Carve. So a quick note about Tapiture here. This one is going to be coming out of post 9. It was touted as Steve Osmussen's best Kentucky Derby prospect earlier in the year after romping in the Southwest Stakes. You know, and then finishing a fast closing second to well-regarded opportunity in the Rebel Stakes. It was a dull fourth in the Arkansas Derby. Really was never involved in the Kentucky Derby, finishing 15th. You know, but 1 month later, he returned to win in the Matt Wynn Stakes at a mile and 16th. Won the West Virginia Derby over Candy Boy at 1 1/8. So, you know, I believe that this one-mile distance is probably the perfect distance for the underrated three-year-old. I think it's very dangerous in this spot. So that's one horse that I think is going to probably capture a lot of wagers here in the States. A quick note on Carve, horse number 2. Mike Smith on board. You know, I've been a fan of Carve actually since he was 3 and with Steve Asmussen again. He never really shown the potential that he did finishing 3rd last year in the Arkansas Derby. But this year at 4, you know, he's won 4 of 8 with a 2nd and a 3rd. Mostly running longer distances. So here's one that I think's got a great finishing kick with a lot more pop at 1 mile. That's going to be horse number 2, Carve.
Okay, a couple of interesting ones there then in the shape of Tapiture and Carve. And it was interesting to hear you say that Pants on Fire is 6-1 over there because he's 12s over here, so half the price over in the States.
Exactly.
Okay, interesting stuff. The 10.50 is where we go next, UK time. That's the Juvenile Fillies Turf, which is a grade one over a mile, and it's for two-year-old fillies. And the betting is headed by Sunset Glow, who's 7-2 over here. Qualifiers 5-1. Lady Eli and A Sailor are both 11-2. It's the 9-1, barring those. And Sunset Glow is another Wesley Ward runner we've seen over here in the UK, second in the Albany at Royal Ascot. That was her last defeat. She's subsequently won both of her races back in the States, although weak in our betting. She's 11-4 out to 7-2. Is it similar over there?
Sunset Glow, actually a little bit shorter. You're getting close to 250 now, or 5-2 odds is what we're going to be looking at for opening at the opening bell. So and a couple of others that I looked at, Qualify, very short, little nibble, a little bit shorter at 5-1. Lady Eli, a little bit shorter again, 6 instead of 8. So not much of a big difference here in our prices, States to the UK.
Okay, on the notes you sent me over via email, you've put on the notes that this is the best betting race of the weekend so far. So tell us about that.
Certainly, Mark. My. You know, of all the BC races over the 2 days, this race may be the most competitive and best betting race because you're going to be getting really great value. You know, I've got 5 fillies that really catch my eye. pedigree, performance-wise, they're all going to have great morning line prices. And I'm actually not even going to include the favorite, Sunset Glow, even though I'll mention a bit about the horse as well. Let's start off with Isabella Sings. Won her career debut, like an exciting prospect back in July, then was second, missing by a neck at Woodbine off a two-month layoff. She's from the first crop of Escandaria, who I selected as one of this year's big hidden turf sires to watch. So I think that this horse has unlimited potential and definitely a horse to keep your eye on, especially at a price of 12-1. Reina de Bateria. This one won her career debut for Grand Motion at Saratoga, but then was floated five or six wide on the first turn and finished fourth in the P.G. Johnson Stakes. Horse rebounded well in her third and most recent start to win going away in the Jessamine Stakes and a powerful performance, sweeping six wide to win with complete authority. So I'm looking at this one, and it looks like, the filly has a half-sister to stakes winners, Kindergarten Kid, stakes place, he's had enough. So pedigree all over on this one as well. Reina de Bateria, horse number 7 at 12-1 again. Lady Eli, unbeaten in two starts, both over a firm turf for Chad Brown. And I want to mention that because I'm looking at the weather report, and even though the state of California has been in a drought for months and months, it looks like rain is actually going to be in the forecast. I'm not sure if it's going to affect racing on Friday or Saturday. It's only looking like about a third of an inch, and it should be done by dawn, but certainly something to finally look at because rain almost never comes here in Santa Anita. Regardless, as I mentioned, both over a firm turf for Chad Brown, Lady Eli, she was five wide and drew off impressively in her last. This one is by an underrated turf influence and Metropolitan Handicap winner, Divine Park, and also comes from a high-class female family. Her third dam was a half-sister to Runaway Bride. So, again, great, great pedigree in this horse. Lady Eli is horse 4 at 6-1. Another lady, Lady Zuzu, could be a sleeper in this loaded field from D. Wayne Lucas. By the last crop of the great sire, especially turf, Dynaformer, she happens to be a half-sister to turf stakes winner Optimizer. And we're looking again at a really great pedigree on this horse. So with a price of 15-1, again, as I mentioned, this one's going to be wide, wide open. Lady Zuzu is the 9. The 6. And I know this one is not a U.S. bred horse, but everyone probably takes a look at Civilieri, and I think that this horse is another one, a really great sleeper in a loaded field from D. Wayne Lucas. One last note I just wanted to make again about Sunset Glow. It's probably going to be the pre-race favorite. She has 3 victories, 2 seconds from 5 starts. I don't think she's ever faced anything remotely close to this class, so honestly, she's probably very vulnerable against a very strong field here. So take a look at some of the other horses for a really big price here in race number 8 at Santa Anita, the Juvenile Fillies Turf, Mark.
Okay, good stuff. As you mentioned, wide-open race, and good to hear that it's a wide-open betting race over there as well. The 10:35 is the final race on the Friday for us. This is the Distaff, which is Phillies Grade 1 on the dirt. It's over a mile and 1 furlong, and it's for 3-year-olds and older. And the market is dominated by US horses. Untapeable 3-1, Close Hatches 7-2, 6-1 for Don't Tell Sophia. Bel Galante is 8-1 with Tis Midnight. Ayatapa is 10-1, and then 12s or bigger for the others. The Distaff's not really a race that we have too much interest over here, so you talk through your thoughts over in the US.
There's really just a few horses here that I think are going to capture most of the bets and most of the money. And those are going to be a horse number 10, Untappable, and number 11, Close Hatches. These horses, they're basically the two fillies that stand out from the rest of the field. If they run their best bet, their best race, actually, it's going to be a showdown between the best older filly, Close Hatches, and the best 3-year-old filly, Untappable. You know, in racing, the old adage usually proves true, and that's with all things being equal. The older runner usually beats the younger runner unless the younger runner has exceptional class and the older runner is only average. There's no denying that Untappable, has had an exceptional season this year at 3. Many thought she belonged in the Kentucky Derby against males, but she was exposed in the Haskell, when trying boys at her ideal distance of a mile and an eighth. So she returned to win the cotillion, and while she won in hand, she looked good. If not flashy, winning just by one length. So, in a high event, I'm pretty enamored with Close Hatches since her debut. If Close Hatches runs back to her stellar form earlier in the year, she holds the class and experience as over untappable. And really, the only cause for concern, of course, is that she kind of inexplicably ran fourth in a very subpar effort last out in the Spinster. Which was kind of a head-scratcher even more. Trainer Bill Mott really couldn't find a reason for that poor effort. But since then, Mott stated that she's trained very sharply since the race, including a good bullet breezing a while back. I'm willing to just draw a line through that last race. Every thoroughbred can toss in a clunker, including top-class fillies. So I'm looking again at these two favorites, the 10 Untappable and the 11 Close Hatches in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, race number 9, Mark.
Okay, everybody's allowed one bad run, aren't they? So keep the faith with Close Hatches there then. And last year's runner-up as well, so it'd be nice to see her go one better this time round. Let's move on to Saturday. In the 9:05 UK time, the Turf Sprint is where we're going to start on the Saturday. And this is a grade one for three-year-olds and older over 6 furlongs.
I'll go ahead and start off, Mark, and I could tell you about some of the prices and how they've gone here in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, race number 7 at Santa Anita. Silencio, a short nibble from 12 down to 8. I'm also seeing a little bit of a price on Ambitious Brew from 20 down to 12. Bobby's Kitten, a little bit of a purchase down to 10-1. Let's see, who else? That's really where we're at right now on this race.
I wanted to get your thoughts on No Nay Never, really, at the top of the betting. The Wesley Ward runner there. Another one we've seen over here, won the Norfolk Stakes at Royal Ascot. Won both starts in the US. Good form, but the concern for me would be the lack of course experience. The sprint course at Santa Anita is very tricky, isn't it? The downhill start, and then you've got the dogleg right and a sweeping left into the straight. And on the trends, the course form is very important. So what's the betting saying about No Nay Never?
That's exactly right. That's a great point you mentioned. And this is where it comes to, what's the winner's profile for the turf sprint here? And obviously, if you raced in a previous BC race or perhaps have run, with at least one turf win this year in the 6.5 furlongs on turf, it's definitely a unique style in this particular race. So there's two horses that I kind of looked at in terms of who probably might come up with a very good performance. Let's start off with Renee's Got Zip. Renee's Got Zip is posted in 15 starts, 8-4-2 lifetime record, with 7 of those victories recorded on synthetic surfaces. So she's tried the turf just twice. And each time she's hit the board in the two most recent Santa Anita Turf Sprint editions. 2 years ago as a three-year-old, she had a solid foundation with the Santa Anita Turf Sprint, her 7th race of her campaign, and the 3rd start off of a mid-season layoff. So last year, trainer Peter Miller had her ready off just 2 summer preps, following by a 75-day layoff. That's pretty significant there. But again, this year, Renee's Got Zip sat idle for most of the campaign, but then came off the bench to run 3rd in the Rancho Bernardo, and then won both on the Del Mar Synthetic. So there are 2 bullets in the holster. I think we're going to see a big effort, of course. Understand what she's not going to be a secret here with a price of 5-1. Another one, here's one that's at a little bit of a price at 12-1. Ambitious Brew. It's a lightly raced 4-year-old. It's been competitive in each of its 8 career starts, 4 wins and 4 places. The Eddie D was the first start in a graded race in his first against Open Company. Despite that, double jump in class, he was still set away as a 2-1 favorite, perhaps on the basis of his then perfect, looks like 3-for-3 record racing on the hillside course. So I think, a repeat of that effort stalking the early pace with Smith on board would put him in the photo again and maybe even in the winner's circle. So, his last 3 races on the course have produced a career top 96 buyer bracketed by a pair of 93. So it looks like he's going to definitely be there in the running at a pretty good price.
Yeah, what price did you say he was over there?
12-1 is going to be the morning line on Ambitious Brew.
Okay, 16s over here, so maybe take advantage of that before the money comes over in the UK. Moving on to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile next, which is at 9:43 UK time. And in fact, Todd Pletcher's got a strong hand here, hasn't he? He's got Carpe Diem and Daredevil. Daredevil is the favourite with us at 11-4. Carpe Diem is 7-2. He's won two of the last four renewals, and he had last year's runner-up as well in the shape of Havana, so that maybe explains it. Daredevil's campaign matches some of his recent winners as well. Uncle Mo, Shanghai Bobby and Havana all won the Champagne Stakes en route to this, and that's the campaign that he's done with Daredevil. So is that reflected in the betting over there? Is he the more popular one?
That's exactly right, Mark. And a funny thing you mentioned, this Champagne, I took a look at some statistics. The winners of the Champagne have been almost a big favorite to win next year's Kentucky Derby. So keep that in mind when we're taking a look at next year's Kentucky Derby. However, let's talk about the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Very much in flux. Unfortunately, American Pharoah has been scratched due to an injury, and it does sound like we're going to see him again next year. But looking at some of the other prices, tier on one, which is Lucky Player. Lucky Player, the six, is going to be 30-1. And then we're looking at the Great War, a bit of a difference here, a 12-1. But everyone else is kind of steady in terms of the market price right now before we open come Saturday. You know, there's a thing we look at, Mark, and I'm wondering, with so much speed in this race, everyone's going to want to make that massive dash to get to that first turn. Will the 11, one Lucky Dane, be able to make it to that turn, knowing that Daredevil, who's probably even faster, is just to the outside? You know, of course, one Lucky Dane, you know, enjoyed the move from Del Mar Polytrack to St. Denis de Dirt, going wire-to-wire versus nine in the maiden special weight foes the last time out. His 95 buyer represents an 18-tick increase over his former top. You know, is it going to be a rabbit and perhaps just keep on going? We don't know because, again, we're going to really know an awful lot once we reach that turn on the first. So it's something that I definitely want to keep my eye on, of course. That's why you're going to be able to get the price that you're probably going to. One Lucky Dane was probably looking at 10-1 for your price. Then, of course, Daredevil, the 12. This is Todd Pletcher's horse that's going to be well on the outside. Daredevil sports a perfect 2-for-2 record. A pair of very impressive tallies on wet surfaces. Again, remember that because it actually may be just a bit wet tomorrow. And that fact may worry some handicappers, you know, because one-dimensional off-track specialist that can't handle the fast two-turn setup at Santa Anita is likely to wind up with burnt toast. You know, but Daredevil may be much more than just a mud horse, honestly. You know, at first glance, his extremely high 107 buyer in the Champagne does look freakish. However, 45 minutes earlier, on that same sloppy surface, Frisette winner registered only a 78. So that's about par for a top two-year-old filly in the Belmont Mile. The filly completed her race in 34-2. Daredevil finished in 31-2. Belmont juveniles coming out of a one-turn route do not always adapt to the two-turn short stretch set up at Santa Anita, but the numbers say one can do that simply by waiting for the speed to come back to him. So Daredevil on the outside, currently 7-2 is what we're looking at there, Mark.
Okay, Daredevil 7-2 over in the States. Much shorter over here, in fact, 11-4 for us over in the UK. So that's
remarkable. No surprise.
Okay, let's move on to the Breeders' Cup Turf then. That's at 10:22 UK time, a grade one over a mile and a half, and a race that Europe do well with. Europe have won 18 of the 30 renewals, including 5 of the last 6, but we're without last year's winner, Magician, who's a non-runner in the race now, but two Europeans, joint favourites this afternoon, and Flincher and Telescope are the 5-2 joint favourites. Main Sequence, a horse we used to see over in Europe, now trained in the US and unbeaten over there, is 11-2, 10-1 for Hardest Core. Chiquita is 11s, 14-1 for Brown Panther and Imagining, and 16-1 Bar. Are we going to be undone by a familiar face over here in Europe? Is Main Sequence popular over there?
I have a feeling that's the case. You know, it's funny, people will be quick to point out that the current tally in the turf races at Santa Anita, at least, is the Euros 5 to the Domestics 4 in terms of winners, but you know, yes, I know a magician's going to be out here, but there's just so much talent coming across that really, and I almost don't know, do we even call main sequence a U.S. Fred horse or a U.S. horse at this point? I mean, its last three races have been honestly really amazing. You know, it's honestly, it looks like it's going to probably be our top domestic marathoner. You know, as a three-year-old, he was regarded as the top U.K. runner. You know, having won the Derby trial and then finishing second to Camelot in the Derby. Going into that historic race, the colt had won all four of his starts. You know, but after the Derby, it looks like really nothing went right. You know, after one of his disappointing races as a four-year-old, you know, it was reported that he had scoped dirty. You know, he was shipped to the U.S., you know, in the land of Lasix, and was also gelded. Owner Flaxman Holdings turned him over to Graham Motion, whose headquarters is at Quiet Far Hills Training Center. So with Lasix added for his return, he won a thrilling edition of the Grade 1 United Nations by a scant neck. You know, he's now rattled off two more Grade 1 scores, the Sword Dance and the Turf Classic. He's back on a winning streak, you know, but he's forced to, you know, and you know, on top of that, he's been forced to overcome a trouble start in each of the victories. Left him with plenty of work to do in the stretch. You know, in one of those victories, actually, I took a look. Main sequence ducked away from his rider's whip, but still got up at the wire. You know, he then bounded away in the run out as if he still had a lot more in reserve. You know, he's locked in successful 100-plus buyers. Main sequence is going to probably, well, it's, we already know it's he's going to have a new rider, and Velasquez on board. You know, we're hoping that Motion Tabs, you know, one familiar with the, you know, down the hill start of the BC Turf Run at Santa Anita with main sequence here. If, you know, if things go absolutely perfect for main sequence, you know, they could probably make a run at the end, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yes, yeah, like you say, he was second in Camelot's Derby over here. Never really lived up to what was expected of him over in the UK. It's as if he's turned his back and he's going to answer his critics now in the US. So it's quite an interesting story from our perspective. Let's move on to the Breeders' Cup Sprint next, the 11.01. This is a Grade 1 on the dirt for three-year-olds and older over six furlongs. And Rich Tapestry is the 4-1 joint favourite with Secret Circle over in the UK, 5-1 for Private Zone, Palace's Sixers, 11-1 for Indianapolis, and then 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Secret Circle won this race last year, of course, and looks as if he's been trained to peak. But interesting that Rich Tapestry is the joint favourite with us over here, because it's the first Breeders' Cup runner from Hong Kong and beat Dirt Mile favourite Golden Sense and last year's winner Secret Circle in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. So are people warming to Rich Tapestry over there?
You know, it's the same price. It looks like 5-1 on Rich Tapestry, which honestly, why not? You know, that price does make sense. Secret Circle at plus 450 or 9-2. What am I saying? Saludos Amigos is one difference. It looks like it's a lot shorter at 6-1. Palace 6-1. And that probably is it in terms of a prices that might be a tad bit different than what you may have. You know, but, you know, we'll take a look at seeing exactly why. You know, a couple of the horses here that were circled with some real interest on the sprint race here. It's very contentious, and it's really, honestly, without a superstar. A ton of speed signed on, you know, but hey, you know, what else is new? It's a sprint after all, right? the horse that I wanted to mention quickly here is Big Mocker. Cruising along, you know, this spring, you know, when a quarter crack put him on the sidelines, he resurfaced in the Grade 1 Bing Crosby off of a 106-day layoff, and with six rivals, including Golden Sense, while posting a 101 buyer. So Big Mocker here, I think we're going to see a really nice return off of a long layoff. So don't forget about this horse when you're handicapping the sprint. Big Mocker is the 10 with the odds right now of 12-1. That's correct. 12-1 is what I'm seeing right now. Secret Circle. Well, you know, back in 1992, Bob Baffert won his first BC sprint. He didn't bag his next one until 2007, so I'm 15 years later with Midnight Loot. And what he did with Midnight Loot looks to be like he's repeating that same magic with Secret Circle. You know, in this edition, Secret Circle, you know, scored off of just a lone prep. So he's back again with Secret Circle, this time showing just one prep in the last 8 months. Last year, the horse won his comebacker against allowance competition. This year, Baffert let him loose versus Grade 1 sprinters in the Santa Anita Sprint, and he ran third to Rich Tapestry. So, you know, last year after his, I guess we could call it prep win, the colt turned in two brisk 4 furlong works and a 47 and a 46.4 respectively. And it looks like this year, Bradford pumped in a 5 furlong and 58 and 4.90 after that loss to Rich Tapestry. So, you know, Bob Bradford, he's got some good magic going on. It's definitely got it. So I'd make Secret Circle a must use in any kind of exotic wagers.
Okay, Secret Circle then popular over there, last year's winner. Moving on to the Breeders' Cup Mile next, the penultimate race on the card. That's at 11:40, a Grade One on the turf for 3-year-olds. And of course, it's over a mile. No Wise Dan this year. He's out with an injury, and the betting over in the UK is dominated by European runners. Toronado is 9-4, Muster Jeeb is 11-2, 7-1 for Anadan, Veda is 6-1, 10s for Seek Again. Caraconti is 12s, then Tom's Tribute also 12-1 and 14-1 or bigger prices. The rest, as I mentioned, the European runners dominating our betting. Who's the big US hope?
I'm looking here at much the same markets. I'm just pouring over the numbers. I mean, really no surprises. You know, 8 of the 10 Euro milers, you know, they're the winners, making their first start off of a 45-day layoff. So there's a great chance for many of them. The one that obviously has been, I just kind of slipped there by saying obviously, but this is a horse that's kind of shortened in price a bit, down to 8-1, and it looks like the one of the state bred horses that I like to make mention of here. With Joe Talamo on board, you know, it looks like the field contains, you know, a repeater candidate here. You know, so obviously lost twice to Wise Dan, you know, past 2 years, fifth in 2013, third in 2012, and, you know, now as a six-year-old, obviously is the fastest of the domestics, twice posting a 107 buyer. He's got 4 wins, 2 places in a show in his 9 starts on the Santa Anita lawn, and he's in his 12 starts, he's got 8 wins at a flat mile. So, you know, we know where to find him as they turn for home, that's for sure. You know, that's going to be his major knock. You know, obviously he's a one-dimensional speedster. He knows really no other way to win or run, for that matter. You know, and that style served him well, especially in winning the Grade One Shoemaker Mile, which he won twice. But he's going to have to put in a war-type performance to make his third mile appearance a charm. He's going to make life miserable for those who try to stalk him up. You know, and I have a feeling perhaps, you know, one of the Euros are going to catch him late. You know, but if the last 2 mile additions are any indication, obviously will be a pretty decent price, Mark.
Okay, obviously a decent price there then. Yeah, relatively unconsidered in our betting. 14-1 over in the UK for obviously. And that's the main US Open then in the race view?
That is correct.
Okay, let's move on to the final race, the Breeders' Cup Classic, the big one. It's a Grade One on the dirt for 3-year-olds and older. It's over a mile and a quarter, and interested to hear your thoughts about Shared Belief, because he's a horse that we've heard quite a bit about over here. He's 6-4 at the top of the market, having won all 6 starts. Last year's champion, Juvenile. I actually went back and watched a few of his races. He slammed the UK Hope Toast of New York in the Pacific Classic on his penultimate start, and then in the Awesome Again Stakes was hampered all the way around and still won. That's almost more impressive. So what's the opinion of Shared Belief over in the States? Is he quite well hyped over there?
Yeah, I don't even know how to even begin on this one, Mark. There's you know, with so much press that's converging on this horse, everything is so heavily weighed, and it looks like it. I mean, I could almost say like it's going to be an underlay on this horse with so much interest on him. You know, bred in California, running in California, he's done everything right from the moment he's run his first race. You know, when all of the, I just got to say with the way the horse runs, Mark. You know, Shared Belief is, you know, undefeated. He's a deserving favorite. You know, but honestly, when I take a look at it, and, you know, there's so much could be read about how, you know, great a horse he is and what he's done in the Pacific Classic. You know, he's definitely a deserving favorite, you know, but again, I think he's hardly a lock because he's beating the toughest field yet. You know, as the older runners he defeated in the Pacific Classic and the Awesome Again, in my opinion, are a subpar group. While he's been completely dominant in every race, you know, he's shown that not only is he very talented, you know, but he's an extremely game winning the awesome again when he was deliberately forced wide out, you know, the entire race. You know, that may have been his most impressive effort. Shared belief, 9-5, probably going to go off at 9-5, you know, when the gates open. But a horse that I definitely need to mention is one that actually ran from the East Coast, you know, in New York, you know, and that would be Tonalist. I've been high on Tonalist all year, Mark. And when he won the Belmont Stakes, you know, I think we just saw the tip of the iceberg. You know, lightly raced, I think he's now blossoming into a serious racehorse. Racing without blinkers, last out in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and he relaxed, launched a strong rally after 6 furlongs, and won as he pleased. Son of Tappet gets a heavy dose of stamina through his dam sire, Pleasant Colony. His fourth dam, Missy Baba, was, you know, basically a foundation mare. So there's so many horses that have all descended from her. And here's the key, I think, behind all this, Mark. What makes Tonalist so appealing in this particular race is the distance. He's the one that will benefit the most by the classic mile and a quarter, and I think he's going to be running strongest in the last quarter mile. So Tonalist, that's going to be horse 11, currently trading at 5-1, Mark.
Okay, that is really interesting because Tonalist is 6-1 with us, and I got the impression over here that Shared Belief was really popular in the States, and they were comparing him to the Great Zenyatta, saying he was the next big superstar of the Breeders' Cup. So interesting that opinions slightly different over there. That is interesting stuff. What's the opinion of California Chrome, by the way? Because we saw quite a bit of him in his Triple Crown bid, but things have kind of fallen apart a little bit for him lately, haven't they?
They certainly have, and I don't want to say it's a shame. It's just a product of the way the horse has been running. It's so difficult to run in the Triple Crown and expect excellence every single time out. There's a reason we got to have a Triple Crown winner in so many decades now. Chrome came off of the Pennsylvania Derby, and you know, you could watch the race time and time again. You could say he got boxed in, he got stuck on the rail. Well, this time, California Chrome's going to be well on the outside, and he can't say anything anymore. He's going to have a wide open field. He's going to be able to get into the position that he wants. Honestly, I wouldn't ignore the horse. Don't forget about the horse just because it had two poor starts in his last two. Remember what he did early on, and remember how he performed when he had that outside post. This, I think, is going to probably be a lot more indicative as he works towards it, and I think that the horse will definitely be somewhere in the top four. Am I going to say that the horse is going to win? That's a little too premature, but I have a feeling that if you ignore this horse, ignore him at your own peril. don't forget about California Chrome on Saturday.
Okay. Final question in the Classic. Just what are the US thoughts on Toast of New York, the sole European raider? Obviously, there's been no European winner since 1993, and he was no match for Shared Belief at Del Mar. So is he kind of overlooked over in the States?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be, you know, there's a whole party of people that'll say that Toast of New York is one of those dark horse type of a bet, but I think that when you look at Toast of New York, you know, he did have a great trip getting first run on Shared Belief, you know, back in the Pacific Classic, as a matter of fact. So, you know, it ran second to him. You know, he settled in behind a hot pace. You know, clearly the jockey settled him, you know, when the winner swept on by, you know, noting that Mike Smith said after the race he was clear, and it didn't really likely affect the outcome. The way the horse runs will probably assist him, if anything, again, because of the wicked pace that I expect to happen between Bayern and Moreno. Actually, now that I'm looking at it a little bit deeper, I really don't know if Bayern's going to be able to have anyone that's going to be following after him. Meaning, Moreno, I don't think, has what it takes right now to keep up the pace of what Bayern's going to pull off. So who knows? If we see a really blazing quarter and half, Toast of New York's going to probably be there again. You know, it proved that running last out in the Pacific Classic. But 12-1 is what it's trading at. I probably expect him to go off that price right now, Mark.
Okay. But Tonalist is the one for you, I suspect, there.
Tonalist, without a doubt. Yeah, I know I'm seeing 5-1, you know, plus 450, 9-2. Probably could expect the price around there as well. If you know, all things considered, you know, the horse is, as I said, it's got the class, and no one's going to benefit more from this distance than Tonalist. So it'll be a really wonderful, you know, and a great end to a what looks to be a really spectacular Cup this year, Mark.
Yeah, it's going to be a spectacular few days. If you were to leave us with one horse from the 2 days, which would you give us before you leave?
I'm going to go ahead and say that I got to take one quick look and say if it's going to be a horse that's probably going to be the best bet of the entire weekend, it's going to be Golden Sense. I know I just said that it's been disappointing at the Dirt Mile and with all of the you know, all of the seconditis that it may have, but it's without a doubt got the most class of any entry in any race, and if it runs just a normal race, Mark, you know, your even money will look quite nice at the end of the race.
Okay, Golden Sense, and fantastic. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, Robert. Good luck with everything over there, and enjoy the Breeders' Cup.
Thank you so much for your time, and that's always a pleasure. Thanks again, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.